Bonger Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Questions People Ask, Part 3, Answering Spiritual Issues. In this session, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, How Can I Be Sure of What Is Right? Many people in the world today do not recognize the absolutes of truth. Right and wrong are often determined by what furthers a person's goals or desires, no matter how much it may harm someone else or displease God. How can I be sure of what is right? Let me give you five principles to discern right from wrong. First, learn to discern your mind from God's voice. Human thinking is corrupted by our sin. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Follow your heart concept is ungodly advice. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Our natural inclinations are usually ungodly and selfish. Why? Our human nature is damaged by sin, and no longer has unhindered fellowship with God. But His Word can help us discern our mind from God's voice. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 reads, For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Second, learn to discern personal wants from community needs. Just consider the witness of the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and then down to verse 9. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then if you drop down to verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just consider your example to weaker believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 down to verse 13. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against a brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. And then third, learn to discern principles from rules. Jesus followed kingdom of God principles as higher than man-made rules when meeting needs. God's purpose for the Sabbath versus man's control of the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what's unlawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus affirmed the development of inward righteousness over outward displays of goodness. Matthew chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." The greatest principle to follow is love. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And then fourth, learn to discern cause and effect. Your life bears the fruit of the seeds you plant. Galatians 6, 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." It's that simple. You remember the story of the rich man? Jesus spoke of, lived his life only to accumulate things. So at death, he lost everything. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. Verse 19, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' And then he said, 'I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." And then if you go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy you, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Eventually, our works will reveal our motives. John 7, verse 17. "If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority." And then fifth, learn to discern biblical standards from cultural ideals. Let me give you two helpful pieces of advice. Study biblical bases for telling right from wrong. The Ten Commandments, Sermon on the Mount, Fruit of the Spirit, the parables of Jesus, and the list goes on and on and on. So many Christians depend on others to tell them what the truth is. And yet they're surrounded by Bibles that contain all the information needed to discern right from wrong. Abraham Lincoln explained his philosophy of the Bible. He says, "Take all this book upon reason that you can, and the balance on faith, and you will live and die a happier and better man." Observe societal bases for morality, popularity, peer pressure, pleasure, monetary gain, and again, it goes on and on. Listen, God is pleased when we follow his words of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Follow the example of Joshua in Joshua 24, verse 15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You have a great day.